You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast Nation. Todd Urey here. Before you listen to the latest podcast, I want to tell you about the Avadem Health podcast series. Avadem Health identifies unmet needs and addresses them in a way nobody has, with a portfolio of advanced safe product solutions across a broad range of health and wellness areas, including a well-known product that has supported the Pharmacy Podcast Network for some time for your patients suffering with restless leg syndrome and muscle cramps, TheraWorx Relief. I use this myself. The Avadem Health podcast series is a three-part series. Find it on Google by searching Avadem, spelled A-V-A-D-I-M, Avadem, and search Avadem Health podcast. It's a really interesting discussion on non-opioid pain relief, which we all know we need more long-term non-opioid pain relief solutions. Check it out, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the Pharmacy Podcast Network's entire library of content. And thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome back, RX Buzz listeners. Ashley here from RX Ashley, and I have a really special guest. Now, I always know I say this, that all of my guests are very special, but this one is in particularly special place in my heart because we've known each other for, I don't know, over a decade now, probably. I have to go back and look at the calendar. But Jessica Louie is with me, and she was a classmate of mine at USC, and we've connected, we've stayed in touch and connected over the years, especially through both of our entrepreneurial dreams and just doing new cool things out of the box, the traditional pharmacy realm. So Jess, welcome to the RX Buzz.
Thank you, Ashley. I'm glad to be here.
So fun. You know, Jessica, like I've watched, obviously watched your brand grow and evolve over the past, it's probably been what, 6 or 7 years, five, six years. And I just really admire your work and your philosophies and how intentional you are being in the pharmacy profession. So why don't you go ahead and take a little bit of a deep dive into who you are and what you've been doing over the past couple years.
Thank you, Ashley. Well, I'm Jessica, and you know, I'm really passionate about helping women and healthcare professionals build lives they love through joyful and intentional living. And that's where I started, you know, back in 2014, 2015, when I was experiencing healthcare burnout myself. I felt really overwhelmed, and you know, I was really saved by some decluttering and simplifying in my life. So, you know, through the process, I've been able to build some online businesses and really help other women and pharmacists. So I'm glad to be here. You know, I've watched your story in RX Ashley, and I think that it's great seeing what we can do in the pharmacist profession as well as helping other professionals.
What? So talk about some of your online businesses. Like what have you been doing? For those of you that might, for people that might not know.
So going back to 2016, I founded my first online business was Petite Style Script, and it was really about helping women feel confident in their outfit choices, and it was really about petite fashion and lifestyle, creating a simplified wardrobe with capsule wardrobes, which are seasonal ways to restyle outfits.
And wait, then so a capsule wardrobe is, and that's what you started blogging about, right?
That's what I started blogging about. You know, I had an aunt that had passed away the previous year that was really into fashion and, you know, classic and quality styles. So that kind of influenced me to go into that realm. And I thought, you know, there's no one really in the pharmacist profession talking about that.
Right.
And
yeah, no, for sure not. I do a capsule. Well, not lately, but I've the minimalist lifestyle is something, and that's also because we've moved around so much, but the minimalist lifestyle is definitely something that I admire. I love that.
Yes. And honestly, you know, I was in academia at the time and I have a youthful face, most people will say. Yeah. So it was also about really feeling confident in my wardrobe choices to show that, you know, I was an assistant professor and yeah. not one of the students alongside everyone else.
Sure. Sure. No, I can appreciate that. So that Petite Scripts, and so that led you to, you did that for a couple of years, and that kind of, what did that lead you to, or where, what did you gain the most out of that?
I gained the most out of that in terms of learning how to form my own business and learning how to do all the technical aspects behind it. So most people who know me, I considered going into a PGY3 in informatics, and instead, you know, I didn't continue my training in pharmacy for that, but I love technology. So I taught myself all the web design, the social media management, and that was great to learn on a platform that was not in the profession. Mm-hmm. I really just play around with it and make so many mistakes along the way, and then be able to launch something that was more in the healthcare and pharmacy realm afterwards.
So you did that for 2-3 years and you kind of dipped into what it takes to have an online business. And were you making money with that business?
So I would say I started it as a hobby, and mm-hmm. you know, after about 6 months, I started making money. You know, it's really about affiliate commissions.
Yeah.
And I learned how to negotiate and write contracts with different companies. So the Petite Style Script is not very active anymore, but it's still available and still people find it and are getting help from it. And then I have a few companies I still support that are in the United States that I still love, and they're more fashion related or beauty related.
That's so cool. So that was kind of your outlet during your transition of student resident to professional. And I feel like that leads us into another great topic, is I'm sure that helped some of your steam. Like, it kind of gave you another outlet to essentially kind of dip into a different realm of the business world, but also just give you a different edge and different experiences that you can talk about. So do you believe, Dr. Burnout, that it kind of prevented you from getting burned out?
I think that it helped me reset some of my mm-hmm. burnout and really figure out what was important to my life and how I could have a larger impact, because I really wanted to have an impact beyond the classroom setting
yeah.
as an assistant professor and follow something outside of the pharmacist profession. Now that I had achieved so many of the goals and so many of the things I had set out to in pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just follow a hobby and a passion that, you know, could lead into a business one day.
So were you, like, what were you experiencing during your burnout? If you want to talk about that a little bit, how did you know you were quote unquote burned out or feeling like that?
Yes. So my burnout story started, you know, my transition was about 9 years of training. So it goes back really to 2014, 2015. I had completed my bachelor degree, my PharmD at USC, and then I was in a 2-year residency program at University of Utah Health System. And in my PGY2 in critical care, that's when I first started experiencing burnout. And then my first year in academia. And honestly, at the time, I had no idea it was called burnout.
Right.
I thought that I'd put so much stress on myself. But I knew that after going through it, I learned about what burnout is, what are the classic signs and symptoms of it. And, you know, the three that I had were really exhaustion. So really a lot of physical and emotional exhaustion. I was constantly bringing work home during my first year in academia. Yeah. And I basically lived at the hospital during my PGY2. And that was all because I did that to myself. It wasn't the program I was in. I was in an amazing program that I highly recommend. And then I was really experiencing, you know, some decreased sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, which is crazy because you're like uber accomplished.
Yeah. I had dedicated so many hours to research during my PGY2, and these were prospective and retrospective research studies. I had about 5 IRBs during my second year.
Holy and God. Meanwhile, I was just cruising in my PGY2. You're making me look and feel really good about myself right now.
Well, I really customized the year to my research efforts, and I felt, you know, none of it was published. I was going to some conferences and abstracts, posters, but none of it got fully published until 2018. So over 3 years after
I
finished my residency. So it was a really great learning process through that. And then honestly, I had some cynicism and negative viewpoints towards the profession when I came back to Los Angeles. It just wasn't the same way I practiced hospital pharmacy at the University of Utah. It's a very progressive program. And just coming back and experiencing some of that was very different.
Oh, I should note that we both left California. So many students asked me, you know, they want to stay here locally because we're both in Southern California now. And then we were at the time, but this is like 6 years later. So we both left. Jess went to Utah, I went to Kentucky, and then now we're both back. So we're proof that it can happen.
Yes, I definitely highly recommend my students and others to consider residency and training outside California. You know, it's a great place for pharmacy school and then, you know, experience something different, and you can always come back because your license is first in California anyway.
Yeah.
So
when you got back, you were experiencing some, I don't know, burnout feelings. So looking back, like, how did you know you were, or did you know you were having burnout, or like, what did that look like to you?
So I didn't know I had burnout until, you know, I was just trying to find help for it. Mm-hmm. And during the process, I was really coping by accumulating things. So a lot of, you know, women probably can relate, where we go on shopping sprees and we go buy things. So that's what I was doing during the end of my residency and into my first year, where I'd go buy new clothing and other things for my home.
Totally.
And I was so scattered. So what helped me reset it was really finding Marie Kondo's books. And
oh my God, don't come over to my house, okay? Because we just moved, so I'm nervous.
And well, her philosophy is great. And I think that, you know, really decluttering and simplifying my life in my home and then applying the concepts to, you know, who I was surrounded myself with community, relationships, and financial things. And then my own health and well-being, it was really important. And then I learned that there's actually a term for all of this, and I could, you know, I could classify my symptoms a little bit more clear.
Wow. And so talk about it. Like, so how did you get out? Like, talk about, you went from clarity of like, holy crap, I'm buying too much stuff, to Marie Kondoing. And what's her name? Sorry.
Marie Kondo.
Kondo, yeah. To like really totally 180-ing it and going after a different lifestyle.
So I think, like a lot of other people can probably relate to this, you know, I had a life event happen. My aunt died suddenly at a young age during that first year. And I realized that life was so short and I needed to live
totally
in the present moment and with more intention and joy. And I was just moving through life, you know, just trying to survive each day instead of thriving. So I read Marie Kondo's books. I applied the KonMari method to my life and, you know, really found that removing physical clutter from my life helped in so many ways. And then removing so much of the mental, emotional clutter from my life, intentional about how I use digital phone and email clutter and things like that, you know, really helped me reset my burnout. And, you know, my friends and family started noticing some of the things I was implementing in my life, started asking for some help. And that's when I started applying the KonMari method to their homes and their lives. And then Marie Kondo came out with her certification process. So then I was officially certified as a KonMari consultant and coach. And, you know, now I'm able to use some of my framework, which I call clarify, simplify, align, in, you know, other people's homes and lives.
Wait, so, okay, let's break this down. So give me some tips and tricks, some of your golden tools, nuggets that, you know, say maybe someone's having some clutter, not talking about myself here at all, that, let's start with technology. Like, how would you give someone some tips on how to get better of decluttering their tech?
Yes. So my first step is always clarifying. So really clarifying the purpose of the object or the activity. So if it's your phone, you know, I really talk about, you know, write down what's the purpose of your phone, because it's no longer, you know, a home phone that people call you occasionally on. It can be your laptop, your computer, your iPad, iPod, your maps, your Yelp, all these different things. So before you just start using your phone, clarify what you want it to be used as.
This is blowing my mind already. Oh my gosh.
And then once you clarify that, then really simplify how you use it. So, you know, do you need to remove some things that no longer spark joy on your phone? You know, are there things that, since you don't want to use it as a computer, and there's apps on your phone that are computer-based, I consider most social media computer-based except for Instagram.
Yeah, I was going to say, not Instagram. Yeah.
So then those can all be removed from my phone. So I don't need Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or Pinterest on my phone.
So cool. Okay, good. I don't have any of those apps. Okay, good. Because obviously you are coaching me right now, just to be clear.
And then, you know, just once you simplify it, just align everything together and have a maintenance program for keeping it up. And, you know, it is not a black and white zone. It's a gray zone. You can ebb and flow into different seasons of life. And it's really easy to remove things and then put them back on your phone, at least. And same with your life. You can remove something for a season and then put it back if it's an activity or, you know, a hobby you're doing.
So true. So true. Okay. So who's a good candidate for this? Like, how do you identify people that you want to work with, or how do people just find you? They hear about you. Like, how did you get this going?
So when I first got it going, it was really centered on the KonMari method and the physical clutter. But now that it's, you know, built up over time and officially certified, it's really about people who maybe, you know, really stressed, very overwhelmed, and are just not getting the resources they need at their institution. Because most of us don't have, you know, burnout resources and centers. You know, I was just at a well-being and resiliency center that I was working with at University of Utah. And, you know, that resource isn't available to most employees and healthcare professionals. So, you know, when you're needing some, you know, unbiased opinions and someone side by side, if you have accountability, that's when you might need to hire a coach. So that's really what I'm helping, you know, women and other healthcare professionals with, is you can go through the, you know, KonMari method, but otherwise we can just go through the burnout coaching process and resetting it, preventing it in the future.
So you really went from, you know, decluttering your home to now decluttering your life, your mindset, right?
Yeah. And the KonMari method, you know, does emphasize that in terms of, you know, the first place is to start with what's closest to you, which is your home, and then apply it to the rest of your lives, because it really changes how you view finances and, you know, toxic relationships and just well-being in general.
This is so cool. Okay. So who's like an ideal client that you would like to work with? That you do work with? I mean, obviously you've kind of highlighted healthcare professionals, and in particular women. Who do you think needs this type of support the most?
I think anyone who is not getting the support they need from either their institution or from their support system currently, who is looking for a coach, you know, similar to when you hire a fitness coach. You know, a lot of this you can DIY yourself, but you get a lot more done when you have more accountability through the process and someone who understands what you've gone through yourself.
So is it like a lifelong thing, or is it like a three thing? Like how often do you meet with clients, and kind of what's the flow?
It really depends on the client. I would say that ideally it's 3 to 6 months process and journey, because just like, you know, with physical clutter, we didn't accumulate everything overnight, you know, and we're not going to get rid of it overnight unless we throw it all in a dumpster, which creates a lot of guilt and regret and things. So, you know, it takes time to reset a lot of the habits and routines that we may be familiar with. And, you know, change is uncomfortable, just like you say.
My jam. Yeah.
And so I really like working with people long-term. I prefer at least a 12-week process.
So do you go over their house, or do you meet virtually for like a week? How do you do this?
So when it's burnout specific, it's usually virtual, and I'll have online videos and worksheets, and then we'll meet about 1 hour a week to check in and go through those things. And then if it is more KonMari method, I will go into people's homes and start with that. And then if they want to continue on with, I call it the alignment stage, we'll go into more of like the burnout and lifestyle coaching. And that's local in Los Angeles. And then I'll travel to people as well. I just came back from a travel client where we have more intensive sessions where we're going, you know, a long weekend or a spring break together mm-hmm. and going through a lot of the physical clutter.
I mean, is this just light you up? Like, is it so fun for you, or what do you get out of this?
This has been so fun for me. I think that, you know, it was a journey myself going through burnout from 2014 until now and mm-hmm. learning how to reset it and prevent it. And now I've been able to give back to my students at the School of Pharmacy, where I'm an assistant professor at. And, you know, well-being, resiliency, and burnout is just something we never learned, you know, as an undergraduate or graduate student. And I think that it's so important and so needed. And mm-hmm. any way I can give back to both our profession and to others.
Why do you think that this is critical in, you know, educating people on this topic?
Well, one, you know, I am board certified in critical care, and I was really involved in the Society of Critical Care Medicine, SCCM organization. And I honestly saw so many people in critical care leaving the profession. And it's really difficult when you trained several years for that specialty, and it's really difficult to replace a specialist totally. In the ICU or the emergency department with, you know, other people very quickly. So when we can save people in healthcare that want to leave the profession from not leaving, shifting some of their workflow,
this is
so important. And, you know, burnout in healthcare is, you know, a top-down and a bottom-up type of mentality. And, you know, this, my philosophy is really from the bottom up, you're changing yourself and focusing on yourself. And then, you know, our institutions will also be focusing and changing some of them themselves as well.
I just read a blog or a post or something. I don't remember where I saw it, but it was like burnout is costing healthcare, United States healthcare dollars, like $4 billion a year. Is that correct? Or 4 million? Did I read that right? Billion?
It's costing healthcare so much money, and there's so much indirect cost that it's hard to quantify, I would say. But, you know, when employees turn over, that's a huge expense. When medication errors or medication safety is affected because of burnout, that's a big expense.
Yeah. I mean, it's directly affecting the patients, not even about us anymore.
Right. It definitely is affecting our patients.
Jeez. It's kind of giving me chills just thinking about this. And we don't, because, you know, I work at the school now at USC periodically, and the amount of student burnout, I mean, it starts from student day one. They just feel so overwhelmed. And I'm like, this is supposed to be fun. Like, why is this? It's the culture, I think, that is a universal issue, especially of high achievers. So I wouldn't say this is an isolated pharmacy issue or a healthcare issue. I think it's in all ambitious, motivated, type A-ish people. And I think, you know, you doing this is such a breath of fresh air for taking a little sliver of the pie, a little slice, and helping people discover why burnout is such a critical component to their overall, not just to their well-being, but like to the reach their highest level of success in their careers. So last question, you know, I think that this is such an awesome topic. Obviously I cover some of this with some of the clients that I work with too, but not to the extent of what you are doing, but I will say the amount that you have to overcome, the barrier that you are kind of experiencing. Let's talk about that. Is this a welcome topic universally?
I think it's definitely gotten a lot more exposure over the last year or so, especially in healthcare. And I'm really pushing so that it is in the curriculum and available to all students, because just like you said, you see this day one in a graduate school level from a student. And when we're having students that are leaving graduate school, not for academic reasons, but more mental health and personal reasons, you know, it is very concerning because it is a significant time and financial investment. So I think that, you know, more people sharing their own stories about how they burned out or how they had high levels of stress. And this was, you know, not because we are high achieving, you know, women and healthcare professionals. So I think that, you know, the more we can talk about it and be open about mental health and burnout, the more people will be able to get help from it and assistance from it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people who are doing the things that you're doing, and my experience too, is like, I flipped a switch and my dad died, and you had a life experience. And I don't want that to, people should wait until something terrible, tragic happens in their life to start implementing these practices, these simple tools into their own life to really, I don't know. I just feel like it happens a lot. I see a lot of people like us in this industry because of something else happened, because of something tragic, terrible happened. So I think what you're doing is amazing. So talk to us about how people can reach out to you and how they can be on the lookout for what you're doing in your new brand.
Thank you. The website is drjessicaloui.com. That's drjessicaloui.com. And I'm excited to be launching a podcast on this topic to really help other pharmacists and healthcare professionals. It'll be called the Burnout Doctor Podcast. So you can, you know, get behind the scenes looks and info on the launch for July on my website. And, you know, please tune in starting in July. I'll be releasing a full season of episodes so you can really take action right away.
All right, Jess, anything else that you want to leave us? Best tip and trick on how to prevent burnout?
I think
big loaded question.
You know, just really clear on your values and your purpose. I highly recommend Simon Sinek if you're unclear with that. And, you know, really just reset, you know, what's most important in your life. And don't be afraid to set boundaries and really take action, because it is okay to be uncomfortable during that change process.
Heck yes. I love it. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm super excited to see kind of Dr. Burnout grow over the next couple months.
Thank you, Ashley.
My pleasure.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.